What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. Doing things a little bit different today. It'll be the last edition of the Weekender that I host, but never fear. You're not losing out on any SRS scoops. I have something very interesting planned for the weekly and the injury report that I will officially announce once I get everything hashed out soon. But starting next week, Steven Jensen of Fight Talk and MMA on Point, like a lot of cool stuff. He'll be doing an audio version of the show. That's why I'm not coming to you on video, trying to prepare you guys for audio. But it'll be on our audio feed every weekend, reviewing the same shows that we do, but giving you a little more in-depth than I can within the time confines that I have. Because quite frankly, my week gets so slammed, it's hard for me to give a fair review of some of this stuff after I've covered so much wrestling. So I'm going to be coming at you with something very special that I'm excited for. More content for Fightful Select ultimately is what it means. But still getting your Ring of Honor, still getting your Lucha Underground when it's around, still getting your NWA, your Being the Elite, all that good stuff. And we got that for you today as well, in addition to the injury report. Also, Steven will cover spoilers, as I do as well, anytime that there are tapings. I told him he can include whatever else he wants, whatever else you guys want. But I want to add more names. I don't want it to all be on my shoulders, all be on my back. I want more voices on Fightful Select. And I think Steven Jensen is a good one. Of course, we have Warren Hayes. I have filmed with both Simon Willis and John Baez recently. More people, a more diverse set of opinions, and I'm always looking for content. So if you all know anybody who maybe wants their podcast syndicated here or want to kick off a show, FightfulSelect.com is a hell of a way to do it. So let's get right into it. NWA stuff. So Brandon Scott, and this match has already been filmed, is one of the upcoming challengers for Nick Aldis's NWA World Championship. As you will see me browsing Fightful.com as I as I tell you these stories. Brandon Scott, man, he definitely doesn't look the part. His promo isn't great. The production isn't necessarily up to par with a lot of 10 pounds of gold stuff. But Nick Aldis announced that he would be defending the title in Brandon Scott's home territory in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And Brandon Scott has competed for this title before. We talked about it on this show. And Brandon talked about how important it was for him to compete for this title and to have his dad see that. And I just thought that this was an episode that didn't click. Rarely does an NWA episode not click, but I don't know if Brandon Scott has the personality. He is not a Josephus. He is not even a Tim Storm. I mean, you get the typical, Ric Flair held this title, Harley Race did, Dusty Rhodes. When is it going to be the AJ Styles held this title? You know what I mean? Sting held this title, et cetera, et cetera. I would love to see some of that. This just wasn't on the level for me. Maybe I'm alone in this, but I just think there are so many better stories that were told. I thought Jack Swagger's was a bit of a downer as well. Not a downer, but not as good because we know so much about him. But you had a Willie Mack who just does incredible stuff, and that story was outstanding. And Brandon Scott just wasn't quite there. Wasn't quite there. As pointless as this week's Raw and SmackDown were, man, Impact managed to top them. They had the newest, as I'll just go ahead and pull up the results, because why not? We had the Eli Drake Turkey Trot and the Gravy Train Turkey Trot, mind you. So we open the show with Eli Drake and Fala Ba before we get a recap of the first annual Eli Drake Gravy Train Turkey Trot last year when Chris Adonis' team lost and he was forced to wear the outfit. Now, they had a tumbler going on backstage. And anytime You pulled a name out of their Tumblr. They were on your team. So Fala Ba picks the first member of his team and gets KM before Drake selects his own, which is Katarina. And then we see a GWN match from 2007 with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Chris Sabin, where they pinned, where Joe pinned AJ and AJ had to wear the turkey suit. There was not much action on this. That was the most action we saw, was a match from 2007. Now I get it. It's Thanksgiving, whatever. Bob picks the second member out of his hat, which is Kika Taro. Now here's a funny story. I interviewed Colt Cabana a while back. I think it wasn't the most recent time, but I think it was 2016. I interviewed him maybe. Yeah. And we talked about Wrestling Road Diaries, and Kika Taro was on there. And I mentioned about all the stars like Luke Gallows and Daniel Bryan, who went from Wrestling Road Diaries and went to WWE and national TV. And I mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, Grado is on national TV. And Colt was like, I like how you're completely writing off Kika Taro because he's a comedy character. Well, here he is now. My God. Eli Drake picks Jake Crist out of there. And Sammy says that if he loses, he'll have to eat onions while everyone else eats everything. Okay. Fala Ba then picks again and gets Desmond and Xavier, who isn't exactly on the same page with KM and Ba. Eli gets Rohit Raju as his next pick before Ba gets Alicia Edwards. And Eli's last pick is Disco Inferno. I popped huge for Eli Drake going, Glenn Gilbernetti? Disco's real name is Glenn Gilberti, but Vince Russo always calls him Glenn Gilbernetti. So hearing that time after time after time, I popped for that. Glenn Gilberti is actually the commissioner of a fantasy football league that I am in with some UFC fighters and some comedians and actors and pro wrestlers. So seeing him wear the turkey suit tonight was great. Now, let me hit you guys with an update, because I incorrectly reported something on the weekend or a while back. And I even checked as best I could. In our spoilers, it mentioned Xavier in the main event. Well, there are several Xaviers in pro wrestling. There's Desmond Xavier, who was in the match. Xavier Woods, obviously, he's not going to be in it because why would he? He's in WWE. And then there is one of the first Ring of Honor champions, Xavier, who is not very prominent in wrestling anymore. I checked with Cage Match and Pro Fight DB. They both had Xavier from ROH listed as being in the match. So I thought, okay, odd, but you know what? Kika Taro and Disco Inferno are in this match too, so maybe they're right. And I think I reported it as such incorrectly, so my apologies. I even reached out to Impact and didn't hear back. We get a vignette for the return of the Ultimate X match at Homecoming, where the new X Division champion will be crowned, and we get the history of Option C. So, up next, we got Team Eli, which is Disco, Rohit Raju, Katarina, Jake Crist, and Eli Drake against Team Ba, which is Desmond Xavier, Kika Taro, KM, Alicia Edwards, and Fala Ba. Scarlett is out to watch this, and she's out with The Sexy Show. I don't know what the hell that is, but they dance, and she kind of does. She moves a little bit. Whatever, she's harmless. She's watching this match as Impact encourages you to submit your latest video in which they will embarrass you on live TV if you do. So don't know why anybody would be in on that unless they were ribbing themselves or just in on the joke. So Desmond Xavier is awesome. He is the highlight of this match. Gama ends up hitting his own son on accident outside the ring. Way too many seconds here. There's also a head scissors centipede spot. That's where everybody has the other guy in a head scissors. Then they roll over, Ba applies a Boston crab, and it is a Boston centipede. Yeah, that's right. Everybody essentially eating one another's ass. That's what Impact Wrestling is these days. There is a spot where Ba knocks Eli off the apron. I'm glad that Alicia and Katarina were here. you can always say, hey, they main evented that episode of Impact, because neither of them are going to be knockouts champions, nor should they be. And this gets a little win for Alicia Edwards, too. She can't lose them all. She's there. She's not a great wrestler, but she does put people over a lot. I got to compliment Disco Inferno, old Glenn Gilbernetti's performance in this match. He looked good. He was in shape. He worked well. He took moves well. He sold an awful lot. He didn't get, like, almost any offense. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who is 51 years old and looked great in there. I'm sitting there thinking, why hasn't somebody ran a WCW reunion show like Janela or somebody? That would be hilarious. Disco takes a really good DDT and the babyfaces all roll over Disco, including the ref. I don't know how I feel about getting that involved, but this was a throwaway episode of Impact, so who gives a shit? Fala Ba hit the Bonsai Drop. Ha-ha! Glenn Gilberti, old Gilbernetti, has to wear the suit. Scarlett Bordeaux comes up and says that he looks like an idiot and gets a big pop. Kikitaro in this match, man. That was Impact Wrestling. That's it. There were no other matches. There were no other new matches. This one lasted a while. There you go. Ring of Honor. Dalton Castle comes out, runs through the story of his injury and about how he wanted to come back. Man, the attraction of Dalton Castle is not quite where it used to be, in my estimation. It's just not quite on par. He's not as special as he used to be. And, hey, when everybody, when people aren't a shiny new toy, then that happens. So, no big deal. But he isn't the shiny new toy anymore, as I pull up the results here. He demands a title shot, though. And the Kingdom's Matt Taven comes out to the ring and says that he is the rightful champion, the real world champion with his fake title. But the Kingdom show up and attack Dalton and the boys. That's that, setting you up for final battle. I will have a final battle post show, by the way, of course. So, up next, we see that Christopher Daniels was attacked by the Briscoes and was taken out of tonight's show. Well, this is important because there's a tag title match tonight. But before we get to that, we get Villain versus Hero 4. How about Shane Helms, man? Think about this run that Shane's on. He was in the Royal Rumble earlier this year. He's been on the WWE Network throughout all this year. Before the Royal Rumble, he appeared for Era Lucha a couple times. His deal with Ring of Honor started in like June. He worked several of these. I mean, they've had three televised matches, including one on Glory by Honor. Everybody thought it would end there. But they ran it back a couple days later. They filmed this on October 14th, and it just aired. So he essentially had a run that started with the filmings in June, middle of June, this at State of the Art, when he teamed with a few guys. And now you're talking late November, mid-November. Good for him. Shane attacks Marty and chops him as we go to commercial. But before this, Shane had caught him with a choke slam, and it looked real good. Just looked real, real good. I liked his performance here. There were a couple times it got a little clunky. Shane is mid-40s, so occasionally you'll have that. But otherwise, I thought it was really good. Helms would not use the umbrella, and Marty Scurll started to work over Shane Helms' hands. But then Shane Helms started to work over Marty's wiener. Grabbed him by the dong. And then threw him through a table, or through chairs, rather. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So there was also a big attitude adjustment off the apron through the table by Skrull. But then Shane Helms is able to return, come back, and hit a choke slam through thumbtacks. These two did not shy away from the thumbtacks. Outstanding stuff. They blurred it up, which I could see that. Network TV, the way that they ended up getting like all the spikes in the back, or the tacks in the back and the shoes and the head, you had to blur that out. They also blurred out Marty getting a super kick with thumbtacks in Shane's mouth. Filthy. Marty low blowed him before that and then hit graduation for the pin and the win. That was real good stuff. ROH Tag Team Championship Triple Threat Match. Briscoes, SoCal Uncensored, Young Bucks. Now, I love how the Briscoes are able to go back and forth between shit heels and respected vets. I think that is amazing. It's different. You don't always have the ability to do that. But they do. They're really good at it. Sky and Nick start off the match by running the ropes until Sky hits an arm drag, and they exchange arm drags until Sky gets a flipping senton over the top rope onto the Briscoes. Back in the ring, Sky and Kaz double up on Mark for a quick two count before Jay gets a blind tag and drops Kaz with the clothesline. Mark sends Kaz into the barricade before Jay drops him with a boot. Mark chops Kaz in the corner before suplexing him, but Kaz comes back with a lung blower before he gets the tag to Sky. Kaz is a German suplex and tags in. There was one spot in particular, I don't know if it was Mark or Jay, I can't really recall. They kind of held onto the ropes in the middle of the German suplex into the corner. It did not look too smooth. The Bucks do a series of double team moves, and man, they just keep thinking of new stuff to do. Just new stuff all the time from these two. I'll put it over one more time on this Weekender podcast. Nick's got some great kicks. Just amazing. I would love to see him in an ROH title match or a New Japan title match. SoCal hit a dropkick powerbomb for a near fall to Matt that Nick breaks up. I loved the flux capacitor spot that they played back from All In, where Kaz had hit a doomsday flux capacitor, essentially, and they ran it back for the finish. SoCal should have gotten the win right there. I don't know why you do that, because they won with an assisted lung blower. SoCal Uncensored get the win. Why wasn't it just the same finish? Why didn't you run it back? You got a kick out of that? The Briscoes have been particularly bad about that lately, even with their own moves. So you get this awesome move that is hard to pull off, and they do it perfectly. Just amazing. But no, not a damn thing. Kick out. Whatever, man. Whatever. Good match, though. Worth a watch. Being the Elite, Scorpio Sky is walking by himself, and Arthur almost runs him over. Then backstage, we see a bit of a recurring theme, as Brandy has a letter dropped off by what we assume is Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. Kazarian is playing Triple H, who we only see from the back. And Triple H attacks Brandy and the locker room. But then we see Addiction come into the shot, which is Kazarian and Daniels, and they get gifts from Triple H. Now, this leads me to believe that, purely speculating, that Daniels and Kazarian will likely go the route of All Elite Wrestling, which we will talk about. I don't think they would put them over on being the Elite like this unless that were the case. But the gifts that Addiction get are, come to Orlando, we'll even fly you coach, which is the standard thing. People their age get hired in player coach roles. Skrull and Cody are going off on each other. Here's the funny thing. Skrull keeps inviting everybody to his New Year's party. Skrull's the only one that has a contract beyond New Year, essentially. And he ends up going off on Cody, who is spouting off WWE phrases. We see the Bucks traveling. There's a bit of a Q&A about the Luigi costumes, which was funny, worth going and seeing. Flip Gordon, you know, he's doing his thing. Flip is gaining more personality every single week. And he needs to. That's something that I think that that he needs a little bit of help with. But he's seen with Cody, and he ends up super kicking Cody after Cody creeps him out. And Cody does the, yeah, I like that. More of that, Flip. More of that. And one of my favorite spots is Takahashi backstage with Adam Hangman Page, because Takahashi's like, dude, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I in the Elite? And Page is like, to be honest with you, I thought they'd just put you with the Tongans. Nobody wanted to deal with him. And Takahashi is great when he is involved here. But yeah, he's been teaming with Page and is in World Tag League with him. So there you go. It's still listed as Bullet Club for some people. I mean, it's weird because they still list it on the cage matches, Bullet Club. Hangman Page ain't in Bullet Club, y'all. Don't know. Let's talk about the injury report. Man, it's getting wild. Head over to that resources section. You all check it out. But let's take a look. Roman Reigns announced he was battling leukemia on October 22nd. Sidelined indefinitely on the Raw side. Braun Strowman needs elbow surgery in late November. Expected out several weeks. I'm told 5 to 6. He's having that surgery on Monday. Triple H tore his pec on November 2nd. Had surgery on the 6th. Was at NXT TakeOver. Alexa Bliss sidelined with a concussion for the last month. Bobby Lashley supposedly working through a separated shoulder. Kevin Owens, knee surgery, double knee surgery in October. Missed 4 to 8 months. Sami Zayn out with double shoulder surgery in June, targeting a WrestleMania season return. That is a lot of injuries on the Raw side. And we're not done, but those are just the top names. Jason Jordan recovering from neck surgery. Goldust had double knee surgery in July, expected to return in 2019, but he says that he's winding his career down. And right now he's working as a talent scout. He was at Invicta a couple weeks ago to check out some possible female talent. On the SmackDown side, Rowan tore his right bicep in August. He's expected back in the spring. His tag team partner Luke Harper has been out of action since early September with a wrist injury. He underwent surgery. Ty Dillinger sustained a hand injury on October 29th, which will require surgery. Sin Cara had knee surgery on August 14th, expected back in the spring. Becky Lynch, a broken face on November 12th. Missed Survivor Series, removed from Starrcade. She is working to get back in the ring. In NXT, Tegan Knox tore her ACL, MCL, LCL, dislocated her kneecap, and tore both meniscuses. No timetable for a return. Tino Sabatelli tore his pec in late April. Required surgery. He's out until early next year. Riddick Moss tours Achilles in mid-2018. He is expected back early next year. Eric Bugenhagen has a concussion. No timetable for his return. He never wrestled much, if at all, before then anyway. Pete Dunne was pulled from October 2018 shows due to an undisclosed injury. We were told that was a broken bone in his foot. Triple H told Fightful that on Saturday night. Also, Bobby Fish isn't injured. That is a bit of an update, as he thought that he injured his knee again at War Games, but it turns out it was just psychological. He's good to go. Impact Wrestling, Sanjay Dutt has a torn right Achilles tendon. His return is unknown. Rosemary sustained a knee injury in February, but kept working for a little while. She's out of action until next year. And Impact has filmed all their TV through the year, through the end of the year as well. Ring of Honor in New Japan, Shibata has that subdural hematoma. In-ring return unlikely. That may be the situation for Hiromu Takahashi as well, who landed on his neck and was hospitalized on July 7th, but he is back in Japan. Tennille Dashwood had shoulder surgery in October 2018. She was a Ring of Honor kind of did her a solid and put her underneath a deal while she healed up, which I think was the good move. But she's expected to be out through the end of the, or at least through early next year. Taiji Ishimori sustained an ankle injury on October 31st. He has not wrestled since. Cody Rhodes working with a torn meniscus surgery plan for January. Hikuleo sustained a ACL tear in March. He'll be back early next year. Others, Joey Janela, sidelined up to a year after September 2018 knee surgery. Joey Ryan suspected torn pectoral muscle in early November. He'll require surgery. Vanessa Craven broke her leg in late October. That will require surgery. It was nasty. Marco Stunt broke his leg on November 17th. Surgery is planned. Let's go ahead and get into the weekly. Now, like I said, this will not be on the Weekender moving forward. I'll be doing my own thing with that. Another way to give you all more content, but let's go ahead and talk about it. Now, you'll notice some of these are from interviews that I did several weeks ago, but I like to save them for a more timely period, and I talk about some things that are maybe weren't in the interview or were after filming. But Tom Lawler fights this weekend on the Chuck Liddell Tito Ortiz card. He fights Daron Wynn. But I talked to him recently, and he remembered his WWE tryout well over a decade ago. He said that he hadn't heard anything back until Gerald Briscoe finally contacted him and said that they wanted him to work on his character. He would go on to appear for Ring of Honor several years later, but had to stop because UFC requested that he severed ties after an incorrect report said that he was about to sign with ROH. I also asked Lawler, who he had been with in the ring, that he thinks could handle themselves outside of wrestling, and he pointed out Julian White from the Pacific Northwest, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Jonathan Gresham, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. He said that Eddie Kingston once called him out to train but didn't show up when they had scheduled something. Lawler, again, like I said, competes against Daron Wynn this weekend. Check that out. We'll have full coverage. Sammy Guevara spoke to Fightful's Andrew Thompson, and he's all over the place. He talked about NWA 70 and Triple Mania. Didn't seem too pumped about any of those, really, but said he was happy to work with Australian Suicide. But he said straight up he's looking to work Super Juniors next year for New Japan, so look for that to happen. WWE stuff. I got a lot of WWE stuff for you guys, if you can't tell. Spoke to Triple H after TakeOver War Games. I asked him about the Bobby Fish injury. He said that Fish had a moment where he thought that he was hurt. That often happens psychologically when you're working to come back from an injury. This was only Fish's third match back since injury, but has been cleared for over a month. He says that he thought Fish took his first big shot on that knee and psyched himself out. About Pete Dunne, he told me that Dunne broke a foot, bone in his foot a while back, but had kept working on it. And when he got it checked out, he was told that he would have to stay off of it for several weeks if he wanted to heal it up properly. It didn't bother him coming into the match or going out of it. And as of an hour after the show, Triple H hadn't heard of any any injuries from War Games. Monday Night Raw, as of about 8:20 Eastern on Monday, I was contacted and told that the Raw script had just been finalized and distributed, which is why they had a largely pointless elimination tag match that was mostly void of eliminations. This doesn't happen often despite jokes otherwise, but WWE has also been training a plethora of producers and people to time out the show since June, so this was a logistical nightmare for them as well. Drake Maverick, we were told that the piss was in fact working piss, although Dave Meltzer has reported that Maverick had to piss himself, but yeah, I was told it was working piss for what it's worth. Speaking of, I'm told that several wrestlers were piss tested last week at TV. Lisa and Enzo, the security guard that you all may have seen, which I'm told is not a security guard, it's private executive security, highly trained. The tackled Enzo Amore got a standing ovation backstage. She's the same woman that prevented Gronk from hopping the guardrail at WrestleMania 33. I've heard a lot from WWE wrestlers about her being popular backstage after yanking Enzo out of his chair and ejecting him. She's well-liked backstage. People said that she's sweet but tough as nails. And one wrestler joked that when she ejected Enzo and took him to the backstage area, it was the closest to a locker room that Enzo had been since before he got kicked out. Other wrestlers were in group chat sending Lisa memes. And another WWE talent said that Enzo was just living the gimmick and didn't mean that in a complimentary manner. One also said that he would favor Lisa as a minus 500 favorite against Enzo in a fight. I followed up on the story that Enzo claimed that he was kicked out of the locker room for punching another wrestler in the face as in a bully manner. It was quickly confirmed that he had got kicked out of the locker room for punching someone, but the person said that it was a sucker punch while Enzo was getting chewed out for something he had done, which had happened quite often. Another wrestler said that anybody who could really stand Enzo for any extended period of time was gone from the company, but didn't give me any names. The only three people I've specifically heard that did stand him for any serious period of time were Big Cass, his longtime friend, Neville, who is also gone, and Liv Morgan, who is still there, but dated Enzo for a while. I got to say, with the exception of the final deletion screener that was sent out, this is probably the most people I've had contact me on their own and just to talk about things. I also published a report Monday morning that I've been hinting at for a while on here about several superstars looking for new changes and deals in light of Saudi Arabia, Fox, USA, all that stuff. I'm told that AJ is one of those, and he spent a lot of time away from his family over the last year. And I was told he wanted a Randy Orton-like deal where he makes TV and pay-per-view dates, but works a limited house show schedule. One source also told me that Styles was open to losing the WWE title because of how much his schedule picked up once he won it. That same source indicated that Big E could be close to signing a 5-year deal with WWE soon. And that's been the standard for WWE. They like 5-year deals for some of their younger talent. Owens got one, but I'm also told that Big E's deal is also a standard dates. Guys, this is my last Weekender. Now, before, if any of you are upset that it won't be me doing the Weekender, I mean, some of you won't care. Some of you will be thrilled. But give Steven Jensen a chance. Give other voices a chance. The Impact Ring of Honor stuff, those are reviews. I'm not dropping scoops on those. I'm dropping scoops on the weekly, and I'm still doing that. So check out a new voice. Be open to new content, and we're always trying to add stuff. But most importantly, let people know that you like Fightful Select and that we're always adding stuff, because there are a lot of other Patreon services that have the benefit of adding stuff that we can't. Obviously, we can't add our post-pay-per-view shows behind there. It's hard for Fightful to grow as a news site because of the pay-per-view if we were to do that. But I'm always looking at new ways to give you all special content, additional content, and scoops. So I want to thank you guys. You all have been doing this Weekender with me for, gosh, I want to say 7-8 months now. And I mean, it has not been easy to fit all that viewing into my Thursday and Friday, but thank you guys so much. And enjoy Steven Jensen. Remember, it's an audio-only show starting next week, even though it kind of was today too. But thank you guys. You all mean so much to me. I'm very thankful for you all. And I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. We're out.